We're just going to open our Bibles here, share together a subject that is simply planning or daily planning in the will of God. How does that fit? You know, how involved is God in your life? If we were to just stop and think about that, we say, oh, let's see, do I pray every day? Let's see, do I go to church on Sunday, and I go to church on Wednesday, and I have my times with God here and here and here and here and here. You know, maybe during the day or maybe during the week. And is that your involvement? You know, or would you say, oh, it's more than that? And, you know, on a practical perspective, we want to look at tonight an area that is a reflection of how much God is in our life daily, during our day, throughout our day. And I tell you, it's kind of an eye-opener to me, a bit challenging to me, because I am a planner. I don't know how many of you have daily planners. You write in your book every day or on your calendar the things that are coming up, things I got to do, all these kind of things. And you might, you know, there's all kind of planners. There are folks that plan by way of event. Sometimes I go to other countries, third world countries, and various types of countries, and some of these countries are event planners. We're going to go to this place and do some things, and then later we're going to go to this place and do some things. And so they don't say we're going to be there at 7 o'clock, or we're going to be here at 2, and we're going over there at 4:30. No, it's just we're going. And so things don't always start when I'm in some of these places. You know, church might be at 10, and we start at 11:15. Because, well, we're just waiting for everybody to get there. And it's based on event, not time. In the U.S., we're much more time planners, aren't we? And I'm probably as bad as anybody because I'm pretty much an hour planner. I got my plan for what I'm going to do at this time of the morning, and then as soon as I'm done with that, I should be done by so-and-so, and then I'll be on this thing. And then, well, I should be through by then, and so, you know, I'm already planning what's going to happen the next and next and next all through the day. And you'd say, oh my goodness, I bet you live a frustrated life, because how often do all those plans work out like you plan them? Do yours? Mine certainly don't. So I hardly ever have a day when something doesn't happen to change my plans. And that's what we want to talk about. So what happened? How do you act and how do you react when your plans change? When something happens, when it gets interrupted? You're thinking, okay, it's time to go. We got to get to so-and-so, you know, for this thing, and the car doesn't crank. You know? Or there's a traffic jam somewhere, or an accident somewhere, or something happens, and, you know, oh, no. You know, how about here you are planning for a special program or special event or a ball game or something, and it's getting close to time to go, and all of a sudden you get the call, it's been canceled. Oh, man, you know. And you had your heart set on that. You see, it's all those things that reflect in our attitude, in our actions, in our reactions, where God is in our life. He should be in every moment of every day of what we're doing. Shouldn't he? Am I right in that or not? Or should he just be kind of supervisor? You know, we do what we think we ought to do, what we need to do, what we want to do. And, you know, he'll kind of say, yeah, okay, go ahead. You know, is God that detailed? Well, it's not so much about his detail as about how we follow his plan and not just our plan. Let's see a few perspectives tonight. You folks online don't have the outline. I apologize if I don't have it on an overhead, but I'll try to articulate it some as we go through to help in case you want to make mental notes or even jot something down. But I'm looking at this that detailed in daily planning, not just event planning, not just weekly planning or monthly planning or whatever, but daily planning. Now, when we have these interruptions, when our plans don't go like we planned, what happens? I jotted down a couple of perspectives. One, the non-Christian approach. And I only know this by previous experience and observation, all right? But Here's the way I put it. Plan as best as I can according to my needs and wants, and if something disrupts my plan, I get disappointed, frustrated, angry, bitter, blame it on fate, karma, chance, etc. And, of course, all else fails, I just make lemonade. In other words, I do the best I can with what I got. That doesn't sound too pleasant, does it? Not much positives in that. It's kind of like, if it don't go my way, we kick the can down the road, and we mumble and complain and fuss, and then, you know, try to redirect and go again. Now, that's the way most of the time the world operates. Christians are not supposed to operate that way. But oftentimes we do. I'm sorry, oftentimes I do. I can't speak for you. And I have to catch myself. Wait a minute. See, because that's a reflection. Where's God in my life? Is God only in my life when I'm singing on Sunday morning and things are going well and my plans are following through like I was hoping they would? Is God in my plans when something changes? Where do I look? Where do I go? What do I do? How do I respond? The non-Christian approach or the Christian approach? Well, what is the Christian approach? Well, in my studies, I kind of outline that in three ways. The first way is understand God's place in our planning. Because for Christians, we know things don't just happen by chance, you know, or karma or whatever might be out there. We know that God controls all things. We know that He is God of all the earth. He is all powerful and He's in charge. So we know God's doing something. God, you say, why did that happen? Where do you look? It was that neighbor of mine. It was that driver up there. We got to get past that. We got to go further than that because they don't control our life, do they? They're not in charge of our life, are they? Our responsibility is to God. So understanding God's place in our planning, the first note we want to mention is He is in charge. He's our boss. We don't like to refer God as a boss, I know, but it kind of helps illustrate a little bit. He is in charge and has the right to reorder our plans according to His will. We make our plans. We like to follow our plans. I always think I have a good plan. I don't know why God wouldn't like it. I don't know why He'd want to change it. But I can find out as we go through here. But He has the right to do that. You realize that? He is our God. He is our Father. Why do we say that? He has a right to reorder our plans according to His will. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says that our lives belong to Him. A good memory verse, or verses, if you haven't memorized them. Anybody know it offhand, right quick? Can quote it for me? What know ye not? Right. That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, what? Right. That's right. Okay. All right. That's correct. Excellent. Thank you. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ become, Romans tells us that we are adopted into His family. We are His children. He is our Father. We don't belong to ourselves anymore because Jesus paid the price on Calvary. He took our death, gave us life. So we belong to Him. And so, one, we got to remember, He's in charge because He has the right to be in charge. Because He has purchased us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Not only that, but He has given us His Spirit to guide us. Romans 8, 14 tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He puts His Spirit within our life, not just to guarantee that we have heaven, but He does. I mean, that's what the Spirit does, is guarantee our life, eternal life. But He puts the Spirit in our life to lead us, to guide us. That means God's got a plan, doesn't it? He doesn't just put it in our life to correct us. Whoa, now you're going the wrong way. You're in trouble. Get back. No. To lead us where He wants us to go when we may not know where He wants us to go. He gives us His Spirit. It says, thirdly, we are told to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And when you live in this world, your tendency, my tendency, is to walk by sight. We make judgments based on what we see. We make decisions based on what we understand in this world. But He says we walk by faith. So God has a right to disrupt our plans. He has a right to change our plans. And He does that to me regularly. Well, one thing I've come to understand, it's not because He doesn't like me and He just wants to give me a hard time. It's not because God has a humor and likes to watch me get frustrated. No, it's because He's got another thing He wants to do. We're going to see that in a little bit. But He is in charge. Secondly, what we see is we are to submit to His control over our plans. If you have your Bible close by, go to James chapter 4 for a moment. Familiar scripture to some of us. When it comes to planning and time and God's will, it's kind of summarized right here. James chapter 4. And I'm going to back up and start at verse 13. James 4:13. That's between Hebrews and Peter. James 4:13, it says, go to now, or practically speaking, He says, now listen, or listen up, we might say. You that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into a such and city, we're going to continue there a year, we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to get gain. I've got a plan. We're going to go here, we're going to create this, we're going to do business, we're going to make money, and here's what, here's our plan. He says, listen up, you that say these kind of things. Verse 14, whereas you don't know what shall be on tomorrow. But how do you know you're going to accomplish your plan? You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? He said, you don't realize your life. You don't realize your life could end tonight. You don't realize that you could take your last breath. You don't realize how fragile your life is in the scope of all the world. And we really don't until we're made to see that. He says, what is your life? It's even a vapor. Appears for a little time, vanishes away. You go out on a foggy day and it looks very real. Man, that fog is there. Hour later, what happened to it? It's gone. He says, that's the way life is. Man, we're here, we're plugging along, we're doing stuff, boom, it's over. And I've come to that place in my life that I'm looking back, what happened to 60 plus years? Man, where did the time go? It just wasn't long ago. I had all these house full of children, and man, we're busy, we're doing all these kind of things, and now look, whew, how'd it go by so fast? He says, what you ought to say, verse 15, is if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. There's a mentality. There's a thought process. There's a relationship that puts God in our life every day, all during the day. We are to submit to His control over our plans. I think of other relationships in life that parallel this to some degree. Marriage is one of those, isn't it? In right at 39 years now, I realized a long time ago that I'm not my own. I don't make life decisions apart from her. I don't decide what all's going to happen apart from her. She's involved in all that we do. I'm involved in what she does. And we're inseparable in that situation. As we move through life, we don't move through life, me going this way and her going that way. No. We're moving in the same. We're moving together. We're moving in agreement. You can't do that unless you submit to one another and work together and follow each other. Think about the workplace. You have a boss. Now, you may think you know your plan for the day till you get to the office. And then the boss might come in and say, now here's what I want you to do today. Oh, but I had all this. I don't care. Put that aside. I want you to do this today. We have to learn to submit to the one in control. And we need to remember every day, all day, that God, my Father, my Savior, He's in charge. He's in control. I need to be willing to submit to Him. So that when the car doesn't crank, when there's the traffic jam, when something is canceled, when something disrupts, when something interrupts, I don't hang my head frustrated, angry, mumbling, grumbling, complaining. Say, what's going on? Okay, God, what's going on? You got something going on that I don't know about. You know, He's got to be right there with us. We've got to have Him in our mind, in our thoughts. Not off distant in our morning Bible study. Not off distant in our Sunday service. Not off distant in some other program we did at church. But right there with us in the car, in the office, wherever we might be, He's got to be that tied to us relationally. There's nowhere I go, nowhere, nothing that I do that I'm not tied with my wife. And in the job place, it's the same way. We have to have that mentality, that thinking, that relationship that's there. Lastly, under understanding God's place in our planning, I said He has daily plans for us. We need to know, just like we have plans every day, He's got plans every day. And what we've got to do is learn to mesh those together. Be willing to say, Lord, Your plans first. And we're going to see more of that a little further down. But Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his path. We make our plans. We have things we need to do, things we want to accomplish, objectives for our day. And we go about our day doing that. And He says that the Lord takes that and He shifts it and moves it according to His will as we go through that day. So we realize God is involved in our day. He is involved in our planning. He's involved in our events. He's involved in what we do. And we need Him to be involved for some certain reasons. Secondly, understand God's approach to our planning. How does He do this? You know, what's God's attitude toward being involved in our day and in our plans? First one, I say He commends planning. You got to understand, God says planning is a good thing. We need to do that. Planning gives us direction. It gives us focus. It gives us purpose. We need all those things and more. Proverbs 16:9, which I just quoted to you, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his path. You know, He commends planning because it's hard to steer something that's not moving. He says, make your plans. And I'll take your plans and I'll steer them into my will along the way. But if we're not moving, we're not doing anything, we're not going to do His will, that's for sure. We've got to be moving to do that. Proverbs 20:24 talks about a man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? In other words, God's going to put us in situations we don't understand. And that's when we have to defer to Him. When it's out of our control, we have to defer to Him. Say, okay, Lord, I don't understand, but You're doing something. Help me to pay attention. Help me to see what You're doing. Help me to follow Your will. Proverbs 3:5-6, life verses for me. You know, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways. And the word ways there can be translated plans. In all your plans. You know, run them by the Lord. Run them by Him. and He'll direct our paths. What a tremendous verse. He doesn't give us that as just a suggestion, you know. He's saying, I want to be involved in your life every day. I want to be involved in your life and all that you do. I want to help you in your plans to accomplish more than you have in mind. See, that's the thing. We're about to see some of that as we move down. He gives us the example of the ant, Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. And the proverb there is speaking to the lazy person. He calls them sluggards. Sounds like a slug to me. You know, is that where we get the word sluggard from? A slug? That, you know. Anyway, that's another subject. But talking about a lazy person, he says, hey, consider the ant, you lazy people. Here's an ant that doesn't have a king, doesn't have an authority over him, you know, doesn't have a supervisor or a boss telling him what to do, but he takes personal initiative to do what needs to be done. And what does he do? He's self-motivated. He stores his provisions in the summer. He plans ahead. And it says, he gathers food in the harvest. And how often does harvest come? It's not every month. What's the impression is, when it's time to do it, he does it. When it needs to be done ahead of time, he plans for it and follows through. And he does that without anybody forcing him or anybody else making him do it. He says, take some lessons. Don't be lazy. Plan. Plan and do what you believe you need to be doing and needs to be done. And he says, I'll take that. And I'll expand it to far more than you think. And so we think about understanding God's approach to play. He designed us to do this. He wants us to do that because then He gets involved in the intricacies of our life on a daily basis. We need Him there. We don't need Him in our mind to be way up in heaven so we just run to Him whenever we have something happen. We need Him with us. Going through our day, through what we're going through. Well, let's push it a little further. Plan every day. This is the third one. Plan every day with God's will in mind. This is the crunch time here. Again, I put Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 along with this. Because think about those couple of verses again. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We've got to have complete trust in the Lord. We make our plans, but we trust the Lord for His will. And He says, in all your ways, in all your plans, bring them to me. Filter them through the Lord. You know, how often do we do that? Lord, here's my plans for the day. What do you think? Now, when I take that to the Lord, I don't expect Him to say, oh, well, let's check on this one. No. No, but what I'm saying is, Lord, you show me if I'm missing it, or if there's more, or if there's something else, so that I'm already preparing myself for the disruption or the interruption that I know is going to happen somewhere in the day. So I'm ready to say, okay, Lord, what's going on? Two big things about planning every day with God's will in mind. The first is, realize His plans are bigger than mine. His plans are bigger than mine. He sees far more than we see. He knows far more than we know. Our life has a great large expansion in His eye. For us, it's like this. We have our plan, we have our things, we have our day, we have where, you know, our little world that we're functioning in. But in God's world, it's so far bigger because He's involved in 100 other people's lives that are going to intersect with yours along the way, and He's working things you got no idea, making contacts, putting things together, using other people in you and you and others and all of this. And so, you know, we can't see that, so we can't plan that way. Because He's not thinking about just what we're thinking about. It may be, Lord, I got to get to work. I got to get that income. I got, you know, I got to provide for my family. And he may be thinking about 10 other things along with that that you need to be involved in that day. You know, I've got to make this appointment because, you know, I've got to see the doctor about so-and-so and so-and-so. And he's okay with that, but he may want to accomplish 5, 6 other things in the process of that that he wants to do in your life and using your life and other people's life. We have no concept to see all of that stuff, but he does. His world is so far bigger and his plans are so far bigger that we have to learn to see his place in our planning. You know, to see that what he is doing in our life far more than we're thinking, because he's not just thinking financially because we're doing something financially. He's thinking spiritually. He's thinking relationally. He's thinking socially. He's thinking all of these things that are going to stick in there to make a difference in some way in our life and the life of others. Realize his plans are bigger than mine, including other spiritual things, people, timing, purposes, and lessons I'm not aware of. Expand our thinking about God working in our life and about our plans. If God wants to use you to do things you can't even think of, we got to be willing to let him, don't we? Willing to let him. Well, also, it says, realize his plans are better than mine. His plans are bigger than mine. His plans are better than mine. He wants to do stuff far, far better than we even imagine in our day. If we're open to it, if we're letting him do it, I mean, he'll twist and turn us so that he can accomplish his will. And we can go about it very reluctantly and not learn. We can miss most of the things he wants to do. If we're not willing to follow his lead, not willing to change with his changes and move with his movements. But if we are willing, wow, what a difference our day makes when we see the hand of God at work in our life, in our day, in our job, in our home, in our other activities that we have. His plans are better than mine. They're more important than mine. I think my plans are important. But on the scale of what I see and what God sees, his plans are far more important. I see as a vapor. He sees as eternity. What a difference that is. So they're more important and they're more involved. He's got a network going on that we can't imagine. And he wants us to be involved in that. He wants us to be used in that for others. He wants to use that to bless our lives, to teach us, to grow us, to change us, to transform us, to be like Christ. But if we're a stick in the mud and I'm going to do my thing and that's all I'm doing is my thing, then we're going to miss an awful lot of things God has for us. And because it doesn't fall that way, we're going to be kicking the can down the road and hanging our head and complaining to God. He's saying, quit complaining, open your eyes, open your heart, and follow me. Follow my lead. Realize his plans are better than mine. Let me point out a couple of things before we close here. There are no unknowns in his plans. Understand that. My plans are full of unknowns. My plans are full of surprises. My plans are full of accidents. Things I didn't expect to happen, happen. But in God's plans, there are no surprises, there are no accidents, there are no unknowns. God never says, wow, didn't see that coming. Does he? No. He never says that. I do. But he doesn't. I need to pay attention to what he's doing because he knows what's going on a lot better than I do. It changes our whole attitude toward disruptions. And that's what's got to happen. We've got to start seeing an interruption or a disruption that, wait a minute, God is doing something. And it's not necessarily bad. It may look bad through here, but how do I live? By sight? No, by faith. God, I don't know what you're doing. This looks kind of rough and it's really going to change my day, but I'm going to trust you that you're doing something good through this. What an attitude change. What spiritual development happens when we do that? Frustrating turns into faith training. So instead of being frustrated, now I'm looking to say, okay, God, what are you going to teach me through this? What do you got for me? What is it that I need to learn? I don't want to go through these frustrating things and not learn from it. Because I know He is a good Father and He'll give me another lesson in the same thing. If we don't learn, He'll do it again. Frustrating turns into faith training. Another one, prepares us for the unexpected. As God's been teaching me these lessons over months now, and studying the Word on this planning, there's a phrase that I've learned to pray, and almost every day I remember to pray it during my morning to begin my day. And I pray, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but You do. Help me to pay attention. I don't know what's going to happen today, but You do. And invariably, something happens that I didn't expect, and I want to remember, pay attention. Okay, Lord, what are You doing? I'm going to go with it. We'll see what happens. His perfect will orchestrated His perfect way is better than ours. The old phrase, love it when we see His plan come together. I tell you, there's no better day than to get to the end of it with all the little things that happened and say, look what God pulled off today. This was amazing. Look what happened. I never expected this to happen, but look what God did. I might be thinking all these practical ways of work and whatever and whatever and whatever, and out of that, God has given me an opportunity to share Christ. I didn't go into my day thinking that, but there it was. You know, or something special that God has done because He changed my plans to make it happen. His perfect will orchestrated His perfect way. One more, improves our perspectives and purposes in our planning. I tell you, it changes the way I think about my plans for the day. I'm getting to that point where I'm already anticipating God's going to do something that I'm not aware of. And I believe if we do this, if we follow this, if we work on this, we'll get to the place that instead of waiting for something to happen and trying to get over it, we're looking forward to what God's going to do that I don't expect. Does that make any sense to you? Because then I'm ready to see God do something. Instead of me endure something, watch God do something amazing. We become more God conscious and obedient. You know what that's called? Spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth. You want to grow? We've got to get God involved in every day and every aspect of our life. What a difference that makes. Now, I don't know how much sense all this made or didn't make, but it has impacted me, and I'm still working on it, but it's making a difference. And maybe something in this will stick in your mind, in your thought, and spur you on to your own study. Because what is more basic in Christian life than what we do with each of our days? If He's not involved in our days, He's not much involved in our life. You realize that? May God bless you. You folks that are watching online, God bless you. We're going to close in a word of prayer and look forward to what God and search God about what He's got for your days to come, even tomorrow. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, and thank You that You want to be a part of our life in everything that happens. You care. You care about everything that happens. Every word said, everything done. And Lord, there's a lot of things in our day that You want to do bigger and better if we let You. And Lord, I thank You for prodding us and poking us and interrupting us to get our attention to do that. Lord, help us to learn to pay more attention so that we learn from it, we grow from it, we're blessed from it. And Lord, we have more reason to give You glory rather than feel grief because it's not going like we want it. Well, I pray You give us insight, help us to grow, help us to learn, help us to trust You. And Father, let You lead us as You have your plan too.